you a high performer, obsessed with growth, and looking for an edge? Welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance. Together, we'll discover underground secrets to unlocking the full potential of your mind, body, and spirit. We'll learn from some of the world's leading minds, from ancient wisdom to cutting-edge tools and everything in between. This is your host, Nick Urban. Enjoy the episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance with your host, Nick Urban. Every once in a while, I'll go into these conversations excited, but then I'll walk away pumped up, absolutely excited to share what our guest is working on. This interview was one of those, and in a minute, you'll know why. Ari Tulla is a San Francisco-based entrepreneur and the co-founder and CEO of Ello Smart Nutrition Service, transforming food from the cause of disease to medicine. Ari has a long history of turning ideas into products and businesses. Ari is an active angel investor and advisor with a portfolio of 40 startups, including Virta Health, Good Eggs, and a personal favorite of mine, Aura. Previously, Ari was the CEO of Quest Analytics, the market leader in doctor data and network management. Before joining Quest Analytics, Ari was co-founder and CEO of Better Doctor, a doctor search engine. While not working or co-parenting his two young children with his wife, Ari spends his time on the steep cliffs, powdery slopes, and big cold waves that only North California can offer. And today's episode is all about smart nutrition, using your personal data through wearables, DNA, and blood testing to personalize and optimize your nutrition. With the Early Access Program, you get a biomarker test every 90 days, monthly personalized nutritional supplements, quarterly nutrition evaluation, ongoing monitoring and support, one-on-one health coaching, and an app that makes it all useful. So right after our call, I went on, paid the $99, and signed up. Which, by the way, if you use the code, it's yours free. Then today, I met with my complimentary health coach. Shout out to Kelly. I've done a lot of these kinds of things, and usually when a company says they have health coaches, really that just means you're interfacing with them over chat inside their app. But not here. Kelly actually customized a full presentation displaying my biomarkers and next steps of how I can improve. Plus, then at the end, based on my lifestyle questionnaire and our conversation, we decided on the best supplements that Ello was going to send me. After our conversation, I got a thorough email that had lots of recommendations and answers to my questions on the science. I can't yet speak to what happens after 90 days, but so far, I'm thoroughly impressed. And Ari generously decided to give Mind Body Peak Performance listeners the biomarker test for free in 1 month of their service. All you have to do is use the code NICKURBAN, NICKURBAN, and that unlocks the full Ello Health experience. So if you want that lifestyle report card, a quarterly check-in to see if you're actually improving or regressing, and what you can do about it with the hand-holding of a coach and targeted nutrition to get you there, you've found your solution. Ladies and gentlemen, sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation with Ari Tulla. Ari Tulla, welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance.
Hey, thank you, Nick. Great to be here.
So before I ask you the usual starter question, I've decided I want to shift gears and do something a bit different from normal. And that's, if you were to pitch Ello Health to a five-year-old, why would they want to use your platform and what makes it different than what else is out there?
Yeah, that's a hard one. I have a seven-year-old and a three-year-old. So I think I'm pretty qualified to get in the mindset of a five-year-old. And I think I would say in a way that I think the convenience factor will fit the five-year-old better than the scientific explanation. So I would say that would it be cool if we can track you and automatically give you nutrition and food that you like the best when you need it?
Simple enough. Okay, now we'll go on to the unusuals or non-negotiables you've done today for your health and performance.
I think for me, something that I do every day and I've done for a long time, I'm wearing the Oura Ring as you are, and I have had it on for, I believe, 7 years every night. I don't think I've lost more than 5 nights in a row ever. And sleep is the key, in my opinion. If you get sleep right, many other things will follow. The other thing I really believe a lot in is time-restricted eating. You don't need to be doing intermittent fasting in a crazy way, but I try to compress the eating in a way that if I train hard, I do breakfast. If I don't, I eat at 11 or noon. And I almost ever, never eat after 7 p.m. So by default, you're going to have a window when your body will go into the fasting state and the keto state at some level at night and in the morning. And the latest toy I've been playing around is a new device called BioSense. Mm-hmm. It's a breathalyzer that you breathe and you can see your ketone level, which is pretty handy if you think about kind of testing this. But, you know, sleep and then eating in a moderation in the right time, very, very key for me.
Yeah, I like that. It's a very sane and balanced approach to time-restricted eating. You're not doing one meal a day and restricting all your calories into a 1 or 2 hour period. You're just moving your breakfast up a little bit or back a little bit if you have it, and then also bringing your dinner a little earlier in the day.
And my kids, they go sleep at 7 plus minus something. And that makes it, you know, you have to eat like 6:30 almost every day. And yes, I do chamomile tea 99% of nights at 8 p.m. That's kind of like, I drop my gloves, I sit down, I walk away off the screens, and I get my tea. We've been doing with my wife for, I don't know, maybe a decade every night. And I can't live without that habit anymore.
That's great. Do you have any other sleep habits that you do? Things that you found to really move the needle?
I do track myself. And I think Oura has been a really valuable tool to understand that, you know, at minimum, I never want to sleep poorly more than 2 nights in a row. Even if I go do like a long bike ride multiple days or long hike, I do some crazy stuff at times. I try to avoid doing it more than 2 nights in a row, that I do like an all-nighter. When I go out, as I very rarely do, with some guys and old friends, and, you know, we do like a weekend skiing, you know, we can do 3-day weekend, and the other guys are going to go out the third night to bar. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go and sleep. But environment is key. You need to have a room that is dark enough, cool enough, and comfortable enough. And I always use earplugs already for many, many years. And it does help your sleep quality. For me, it makes a big difference. I don't eat after 7. I don't do alcohol really ever after 7. I do not have any caffeine after 2 p.m. I don't drink coffee, but I drink dark tea around, you know, noon normally. So that doesn't impact my sleep. I never really train after 7 p.m. I always do a hot shower before I go to bed because it helps your circulatory system, you know, to get cooler faster because you have more blood in top of your skin. I do some, you know, stretching often before I go to sleep. I use Theragun when I train hard. And I'm older athletes, so I try to, and I have to still do these things to even be able to keep up with the young ones a little bit. I'm not there anymore. And not doing screens, you know, after 8, 9 p.m. too much. So if I do, I turn them into some crazy mode where you don't get blue light too much. And mentally, I think I do things that I really believe in. And one of them is yoga nidra, breathing exercises. And often I do this deep breathing technique. People call it the psychological sigh. Basically, a super simple thing is that you breathe in through your nose and you breathe in all the way until you can't take more air in. And then you do one more pull. And that is really getting your lungs filled in a different way. And you then exhale slowly. Hmm. You do that 5 times and I'm done. I fall asleep. It takes me about 3-5 minutes every night. And wow, that's been a really amazing small gimmicky technique that does work. And not for me, but many, many other people. And I sometimes do some supplementation. Like I've been doing L-theanine, about 200 milligrams at night before I go to sleep. I often have done magnesium. I use the special magnesium L-theanurate that is more like a cell form right before I go to sleep. And it does help. Those are some of the things I do on almost every night.
Okay, so you've been doing this for a long time. You've been using Aura for 7 years. I've only had mine since 2017, so not as long as you. But how did you get started in this whole industry? How did you get started with self-quantification and health and wellness?
I was super lucky to, first of all, I've been an some level athlete all my life. I spent all my youth playing hockey. I'm from Finland, so you know, hockey is like the thing for us. And that, of course, gave me a bug of being an athlete. And once I stopped hockey, I had to find something else to do. So I did these ultra races, like think about running and cycling and canoeing or whatever, for many days in a row until you can't move anymore, no sleep, like brutal races and college. And after that, I started rock climbing. And for the last 20 years, I've been climbing all around the world, big cliffs, small cliffs, mountains, and anything you can have between, often with the snowboard and hiking down and coming up. It's been super fun. But that is kind of the realm I've been in. And I was really lucky at the time when I was playing hockey. I was probably, I don't know, 10, 15 years old. And in my hometown in Kempele, there was this small company called Polar Electro that invented the heart rate meter. So I got to use those meters when training in 90s or late 80s. And I was like, wow, that you can actually kind of track your heart rate. You can understand whether you are recovered or not. And then years later, I was working at Nokia. And there was a team that worked next to me, and they basically came up with this idea of a step counter in a phone. So they realized that there was a chip in the Nokia first smartphones, the N95, I believe that was the device, you know, years before iPhone and Android devices. And they had added this chip into the phone that was able to rotate the photos taken from the portrait to landscape. Remember old cameras, you had to kind of rotate the manually because it didn't remember how the phone was held. So that chip was basically the first chip of that type that was able to automatically rotate the photos. So of course, you know, the engineers next to me, they were hacking into that chip and they realized that it's a way more capable chip than just for rotating the photos. It was the same chip that was later added into Nintendo Wii. And these capable people, they basically created the first step counter ever. And that was the beginning of this whole step counter movement, I think. And I don't know if they came with the 10,000 steps or whoever, but, you know, I was there looking, you know, behind the backs. And I was one of the first people to try the phone and try the device, the prototype. And I had a simple device that showed me the step counter. And once I got to 10,000 steps, it said, da-da. And it made a big impact on my behavior. So I became a big believer that there's something here. And later, of course, you know, the same team actually developed a company called the Sports Tracker, kind of the first Strava type application on the phones, on Nokia phones. And then later I met the Aura team that was partially coming from Nokia, from the same team. So that was kind of the beginning. And I really got into this idea that, hey, if you can quantify something, you can improve it. And ever since, you know, maybe, I don't know, 17 years ago, I've been really a big believer on this idea that, you know, there's new ways we can quantify the body and give us new insight. And once we do that, then we can do and change behavior and improve and test. So it's been really, really exciting.
Well, I was just writing an email yesterday about testing before you make a change, because otherwise you're just guessing.
99% of us are trying to do too much. We just make one decision, like one change, like let me walk every other day for half an hour, or something simple that we can actually do and make it part of our life. We often take like a whole elephant and try to swallow it on one go, and that will never work. But like you said, there has to be a way to track. And a simple thing can be to put it in a calendar or have a device or some type of thing. Or you buy the gym pass, you know, buy like an annual pass, and then maybe you go at least for a while.
Yeah. So tell me what you're working on now at Elo.health.
It really is about the simple idea is to take the data about your body by using biomarker testing. Think about like blood work or DNA, maybe even methylation studies going forward, and then using the wearable devices like, you know, Whoop and Aura, your scale, Apple Watch, and so forth. Take that information and then use AI to turn it into the right nutrition plan for you, and then deliver that plan to your home by directly shipping it to your kitchen counter. That's been kind of the dream I've been thinking for a long time. And often I say it in a simple way that we take data about your body and we turn it into tasty molecules that either heal you or keep you at optimal performance. That's what I want to do. And we offer a blood test and wearable device-based nutrition. The first product out there is supplements that we call smart supplements made for you. The second product is coming out in a moment. I can't talk about it yet, but you know it's coming very soon, and we are super stoked about it. It's going to be like a pretty groundbreaking product, and then we have a couple more coming later this year. So we are really getting to the groove of getting new products out almost every quarter. And the whole idea, what we are trying to do, is to create the first smart nutrition company. And smart nutrition for me is this thing and a new concept that makes nutrition to be personal. It's made for you, just for you. It is precise. It basically is grounded in science and something that is validated by human trials and real science. And lastly, it is proactive. And that's the new thing that I don't think people have even thought about. How could nutrition be proactive? Well, the idea is that, you know, it basically changes with you. We do ongoing testing. Every 90 days, we test your blood work, for example. Every day, we get your wearable data. Think about activity data, recovery data, and so forth. And we optimize the plan based on that data automatically. So the Elo system is working behind the scenes for you 24/7 and making it better for you. Well, think about when we go further and let's say we're going to do meals. We might do them at some point. And the meals, of course, you know, it's not only about the outcome. Is it making you maybe lighter or stronger or, you know, whatever, or are you sleeping better? But it can also be the taste. And are you feeling good? So those are the feedback loops we are now creating into Elo. So think about in the morning, for example, we are asking a question about your recovery. Are you feeling less sore? And so forth. Those are kind of feedback loops that are coming every day into the system. Mm. And why I think the smart nutrition is kind of cool as well is that I believe there could be a category. Think about smartphone, smart watch. Think about the smart home. And I have a little bit of a pain in my tooth about this whole topic because, you know, years ago I was at Nokia. I was working with the team on this new phone, N95, for example. And we call the phone smart computer, mobile computer. And I bet the smartphone name was also on the table on a whiteboard, but we never picked that name. We called it mobile computer. Yeah. And of course, then somebody else called them smartphones and the rest is history. So I'm now trying to coin kind of new term for this idea of smart nutrition.
I like that. Let's set the stage. You mentioned on a previous conversation we had just how big this industry is and some compelling numbers. Do you remember those?
Yeah, let me talk about this. So most people maybe don't realize that the healthcare and the food industry are the two of the biggest industries we have on the planet. If you take the US numbers only, we spend about $6 trillion, $6,000 billion on the food and nutrition. We spend about $4 trillion, $4,000 billion on healthcare. And if I think about this in my simple praying, I'm seeing that the food industry and the health industry are overlapped in some level. Because today, if you think about the numbers, the bad diet and bad lifestyle is basically making us sick. Half the people today who are dying, they're dying because of lifestyle chronic conditions. We are spending half the healthcare dollars, about $2 trillion today, on managing people who have type 2 diabetes, who have hypertension, heart disease, and so forth. We are managing them. We are not healing any of them. And that $2 trillion is spent because of the food that people eat. We really have to be able to focus on this idea of connecting these two markets together. And if we can invest into really good nutrition and give people, even subsidize people's food, I think we can take every $1 we invest in good food, we can take $3 out of the healthcare system. Think about if we could do that. We could basically invest a lot more, yet lower the cost of the healthcare system. So the whole equation of the $4 trillion and the $6 trillion could maybe become something like $8 trillion, not 10. And that might be the only way, I think, in my opinion, is to save the healthcare system from the ever-expanding cost that we have today.
Yeah. Okay, now on to how you guys decided, how you built the science and compiled everything into one platform, because that's a huge undertaking.
And that's the very reason why we started with two things first, or maybe three. But there really is the blood testing, and then there's the wearable device data that is coming in. And then we have supplements that are often correlating directly. You can test vitamin D, you can offer people vitamin D, you can test people's cholesterol or HDL, LDL, and you can provide them some supplementation that can help on those topics. So we're going to build like a really box we can validate and test the assumptions we had. And how we started to create this is that there is a lot of science already in the world about nutrition interventions. And what we did, we collected all the science we found globally. And we found about 3,500 different human trial, clinical trials that were around different type of nutrients. And those became the backbone of the ELO algorithm. So today, if you think about, for example, I'm testing my blood work, and you know, we tested your blood work also this week. We'll get the results shortly. And you find out, for example, that I had very low vitamin D. My vitamin D was in the teens. And of course, you know, then I need to get the vitamin D supplementation. And we also realized that I had a DNA mutation that I don't metabolize vitamin D properly. So I had to be triple dosed. So there was a clinical trial done, people like me who had the mutation, who had a low vitamin D. And then we found out the right intervention. So I was getting 8,000 IU of vitamin D, the normal amount that I think the government requires or recommends is probably something like 1,000. So I had to 8 times over the limit of the normal to be able to get to the right track. And the same applies to every different mineral, nutrient, or think about like a green tea type of, you know, natural product as well. And it's all based on the clinical trials, the dosing and the quantity, how long we give people these products. So that's the backbone. And then what we did on top of that, in the ELO process, we also have dietitians who are working with every member on one-on-one. You're going to have your session probably next week. So what happens there is basically going through the data about your biomarkers, data from the Apple Health and your wearable devices, a long questionnaire you did, looking at that data, and then going through your goals. and understanding what is the right regimen for you specifically. And all the changes that the dietitians are making into the plan are then fed into the algorithm. So now it starts to take into account not only the science, but also the contextual changes that we are doing from the clinical perspective. And the third layer we are now starting to work on is basically create proper black box algorithm where we are looking at the outcomes, because we test the data every 90 days on the blood and we get data from wearable devices every day. So what are the outcomes that are coming from these people? And they are then starting to create new science and improve the dosing, improve the regimen. So that's really the exciting phase we are now entering once we have thousands of people in the Elo platform.
Ari, I like that you guys are adding the contextual layer to this, because I know that certain other companies that do blood testing, they might even give you recommendations, and those recommendations only matter if they're applicable. For example, if I don't eat fish and all my top recommendations are fish, or what actually happened to me, I got recommended not to eat red meat, but regenerative, pasture-raised, grass-finished beef, especially organ meats, can be extremely healthy in the right quantities, and being told that I shouldn't consume that because of some algorithm doesn't make sense, because it didn't even incorporate my goals and my lifestyle.
100% agree on that. And I think we often think that we are completely snowflakes as people. We like to think that way. And I don't mean snowflakes in a sense of we are vulnerable, but I mean, we think we are unique. And I think, you know, that's the truth in some level, but I don't think that we are so unique. I think there are some number of different cohorts that we belong to. And it's important to understand what you really want to do. And one of the key aspects that I've been learning a lot about lately is this idea of ancestral diet. And looking at your past, like what did your grandparents and people before that, what type of food did they eat? That's likely food that your body is accustomed, not in the last 10 years, yeah, but in the last maybe millennia. And that has been interesting to learn from my perspective. And I'm a big believer in this idea, like I already said, measure and then understand what the data tells you and then start optimizing from that perspective. So I learned last 2 years that, you know, while wearing glucose monitor, for example, continuous glucose monitor from Levels and Super Sapiens and others, I learned that I just can't eat rice. I can't eat any corn. I really can't eat white bread. And those are all foods that I don't think any of my ancestors ever had. I'm from Finland in the northern hemisphere, where you basically have game and a lot of dairy and berries and stuff like that. And of course, a lot of fish from the lakes. So if
When you say can't eat, are you referring to having a high blood sugar spike, abnormally high?
I'm talking about a level of spike that is evidently not good for you. When I have a Indian food with white rice, I'm going to be spiking for hour and a half, 2 hours. I mean, that's like completely unhealthy. Yeah. And you look at my levels normally, they are super, super good. And then I do the you know, once a week I had Indian food. I felt it's not great for me. But once I saw the numbers, I was like, oh my God, like this is like four times the level I normally get to. And funny thing enough, in a year of wearing devices and kind of being rigorous about the feedback loop, I started to develop this, I don't know, sixth sense or something, but I had this sense in my inner ear. When I have a high spike, I can feel it in my inner ear, like a small sound, like a hissing sound. And now I know it. Like I can go out now and eat something bad. Within 15 minutes, I can feel that my glucose is spiking while I'm eating the food. Wow. So that's been pretty cool to build a new sense in my body based on these sensors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's something to that. There's something to using technology to hone your intuition. People tend to be in one of two camps, either technology for everything, replace the body with technology, or nope, technology doesn't belong here. Let's go back to analog everything. And I think you can combine the two and you can use the technology, like I was just saying, to be able to discern things, signals that are happening inside your body that you wouldn't necessarily notice, but the technology can just highlight it for you and help you draw the link so that even if you stop using it, like you were saying, you still can notice the effects on your own.
So there's this idea that what if we can use the technology to build new senses almost? I mean, that is a pretty powerful thing. And I don't think we do that enough. And I don't think the technology that we create is really adapting that way often. And I think many people, they tend to live almost completely driven by tech, being a smartphone, being notifications, being calendar. I think we need to give a bit of space for us to be, you know, humans and be creative as we are.
Tell me about how you chose the blood markers to include in Elo.
They are the gold standard. And I know that company like Elo will be a difficult path to build something like this and make it credible. And I wanted to make it credible not only for myself and, you know, the Elo members, but also the medical community, because we later, I think, will get deeper and deeper into health as well and chronic condition management. So blood was the only biomarker that we can all agree upon. And I can talk with the data I have about Elo with my doctor, as I did last week. I actually showed my Elo app to my doctor at Kaiser Permanente, and she was blown away because I have 10 years of data on every biomarker in there. Mm. And basically she signed up on the spot to use Elo. I was like, that's pretty cool. Yeah. she's a you know, primary care doctor at the big health system. And she was like, this is pretty cool. So I felt really great about that. But what did we pick? I was talking to a lot of doctors, and I've been working in healthcare for the last decade. And the feedback was that you need to get something, a panel in the beginning, that is a credible panel for also for an MD to look. So we picked the lipid panel, the fats, cholesterol, HDL, LDL, VLDL, and so forth, and triglycerides. And then we picked the diabetes, because that's the biggest, you know, problem we have hitting us from the behind, which is the type 2 diabetes. We do A1C. Then one thing that I really believe is inflammation. So my wife had health issues for many, many years, and we always were testing inflammation. And we do homocysteine today. That is one of the better markers for that. And then we do vitamins and minerals. Think about like D vitamin, B12. We do ferritin for iron. So about 13 different biomarkers today. And that's about the maximum amount you can do from a one finger prick. I don't know if anyone has a bigger panel today in the US for the finger prick. And that panel kind of gives you the baseline understanding. And over time, I think what we can do, and we have done already, is that we have a system. We can collect the blood at home, and we can also test 75 other things from the same panel with the same device. So over time, I think we will be extending it more also into specific, you know, problems that you might have. We might have a different type of kit for men and women. We might do also hormones, and we will definitely do some type of food sensitivity, because that is really interesting when you get to the food.
So if you were to stack rank your top blood tests, say maybe more than you can fit into a single finger prick, which would you choose for that and why?
I think the one we have today is a good start. Personally, would like to also test testosterone. We have done that, and we were not totally happy about the data we got from the finger prick. And some of the hormones, they can be quite volatile. So we likely will add it back at some point. But that would be good to know, because I'm a man and I'm getting older. So I think I want to really have the right levels and make sure that, you know, I don't drop too much. It will have an impact on my energy and overall performance. Beyond that, I think there are some other ones like you know, PSA is the prostate cancer test that, you know, is really good to do again if you are a bit older. And I think I would love to go much deeper into lipid panel, understanding the particle size of HDL, LDL, to really go deeper. And I would love to do insulin resistance, because that is a good marker to understand about your metabolic health even before your A1C might be showing a poor number. Today, you can't do insulin resistance from the finger prick today. It's not available. So there's many things that are coming available in the coming years. And I think the panel of about maybe 25, 30 biomarkers would be ideal. And today, I think we can't yet do it. But I'm hopeful that maybe in a year from now, we will have a much, much better panel available. That the science is really moving leaps and bounds at the moment.
You mentioned previously that you think in a year, maybe a little more, that we'll be up to near 90 different biomarkers. Is that possible?
I think it's possible, and even more. There's new types of testing coming available in the coming years, maybe even next year. But you know, it's in the FDA approval phase and in a very science phase. So even if you can test that many, I don't know if we can kind of validate them all to be proven to be used in the way we use them today. Mm. So there's of course a lot of talk about the biomarker validity. We all have heard about Theranos, and many of us has heard the podcast, saw the movie and the TV show, and read the book, which is a really good learning, I think, for everybody that, you know, you can do and break things in the realm of tech, but you can't do and go break things in the realm of healthcare. We're real people, have real impact and implications. Yeah. So we at Elo, we try to be super conservative in everything we do, from the testing rigor to also into the product we give to people. As an example, today, we have selected, we have 84 active ingredients. Think about like from wow. vitamins to minerals to different herbal compounds. But we were selecting these from hundreds, and we only found these 84 that had scientific efficacy enough that we can add them. So we make mark them all 3, 2, or 1. So 3 means that, you know, they are equal to medications. Number 2 is that there's a clear benefit shown in clinical trials and meta studies. And number 1 is that there is some benefit shown, maybe not massive meta studies are done. We have, and there are a lot of different things that are at the 0. And one that I think you probably know about and many listeners know about is NAD, or different, you know, NAD derivatives that are about longevity. I mean, these are something that, you know, many people are asking us to add into our mix, and we will soon. But in the beginning, we couldn't do it because we didn't have enough scientific evidence for the NAD. Yes, there are studies with mice, but there is no human trials yet available. So we set the kind of bar really high. And what did we do to make it easy to trust us? We basically took every product I have, and we have run them through a third-party lab testing to really understand that they are all pure, they all have the right dosing, and they don't have any harmful chemicals in them. Because often there are going to be heavy metals and toxins in supplement pills. So we took away all the products that we found that are not good enough. And to be fair, we found from our partners, we found products that we could not take into Elo because they were not good enough.
What are some of the classes of ingredients that you guys are considering? You mentioned vitamins and minerals. Are you using botanicals and adaptogens and those kinds of things?
Yeah, so there's a long list, of course. If I the 84. So we have, of course, all the different, you know, letter vitamins that you can think of. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of different things that, you know, you might not really consider like the normal things, but you know, if I look at like, you know, the top of the list, of course you have, you know, the like alpha lipoic acid is important. You have things like, you know, berberine, biotin, of course calcium, you know, choline, chromium. You have, you know, coenzyme Q10, CoQ10, yep. Often said minerals like, you know, copper, magnesium, manganese, iodine, iron. There's a pretty good list, and we also have some that are, you know, on the number one category of impact. But I personally believe in think about like mushrooms and stuff like that, mm-hmm. You know, reishi and others that, you know, have really good outcomes. But if you think about what are we giving to most people, I mean, when we do the testing, we found out that 90% of people almost have a low vitamin D.
Yeah.
So that's a very common problem. And I mean, any listener, like, you know, you don't have to sign up to Elo, but please buy a good vitamin D product today and supplement with that. There's no harm, but there's a lot to gain because you likely are low, even if you don't know about it. And another one, of course, that we know is a really, really helpful is omega-3. If you take the omega-3 versus omega-6 quantification, the right ratio could be like 1 to 1. Most people are completely upside down, like it'd be 1 to 20. Yeah. And that's because we are eating a diet that has way more omega-6 than omega-3. And even if, you know, I was a vegetarian for a long time, then I became a pescatarian and I eat a lot of fish. And I was even not near 1 to 1. And I don't know anyone who really is there today.
Mm-hmm. And are you guys using the more bioavailable forms of nutrients? Like the activated, say, B vitamins, and I think it's ubiquinone for CoQ10, that kind of thing?
Yeah, there's a lot of innovation happening on the bioavailability. I don't think we have all of the kind of the latest and the greatest forms. Some of them are actually really hard to get, yeah, and only available in very few vendors. And some of them don't really have enough evidence. Again, they might be brand new, and they say they have this higher bioavailability, but how do you test it? It's a very difficult test, yeah, to run. So we do have some of them. As an example, our omega-3 product that we are now giving to most people is a vegan product made by a company called IWI. And they're actually making the product in the US, in New Mexico and Arizona. And it's made of algae. So it's like a big farm in the desert where they're creating algae. And think about how cool is this. They are actually carbon sequestering with this farm. So it's like a really good also for the environment. And it's this beautiful black pill. And based on our understanding, again, limited studies, but the bioavailability of that product is probably double than what your normal fish oil. And it's also vegan.
Wow.
So it's a great, great product.
Imagine that you're evaluating blood testing services. There's some things that you're going to want to know, such as the company uses the same lab to process your sample. What are some of these things?
A lot of people have absolute trust in lab data. Think about it. When you go to your doctor office, they take the big needle and they stuck it in your arm and they take, like, I don't know, 8 vials of blood. But that's kind of the way you do it. And of course, you know, you are part of the process. And then you get the data maybe, you know, a day or week later, and it comes in like 4 decimals. You get like a 5.78 result. And you don't maybe understand what it means, but it feels like really scientific and it feels really precise and accurate. What we realized in the last year or two when we went deep into this topic is that you can take blood in 3 different labs in the same health system, same day, and the values can change, you know, 20-25% from lab to lab because the devices are calibrated differently. So the surprising thing that I learned is that blood testing is not as exact science as I was thinking it is. And what is almost more important than getting the right absolute value at that test is to be testing your lab, your blood in the same lab from time to time to time. So what we do at Elo, we decided that, and we work with multiple labs, but we decided that once you sign up to Elo, we're gonna get your lab into the one, your blood in the same lab every time, every 90 days. So at least your results are 100% comparable. And I think it's more important to have your baseline and your trend than having the number compared to some other people. Because if you think about the challenge today in the blood analysis and the diagnostic space, I think you all have been here. Like, you get the report from the doctor, you have green and you have red. So suddenly, let's take A1C, the diabetes biomarker. It is basically 5.8 is today the limit. If you go over that, you become pre-diabetic. If you go to, let's say, 7, you are diabetic. And, you know, if you are diabetic, you will be medicated automatically. If you are pre-diabetic, your doctor will talk about maybe medication. My values in the last decade have been between 5.5 and 5.8. Last year, I think, the number of the limit went from 5.8 to 5.7. And I went to the doctor's office and they looked at my data and they said, hey, you are pre-diabetic. And now my medical record says I'm pre-diabetic. I have had the same value for a decade. My glucose values are super optimal. my insulin resistance is totally optimal, but I'm pre-diabetic. So that's the challenge, I think, in healthcare today, that, you know, you can be healthy for a decade and then you move 2% and you become sick and you are medicated. And it could well be that one value could well be an error in the calculation or the lab test. So what we did at ELO, we created the yellow segment. We basically are seeing that if you get to the yellow, it's like the warning sign where you can do something. And in the doctor's office, there really is the yellow. You go from green to red. And you're like, how could it be that overnight I became sick? Or over the 1 year, I'm now sick, I need to be medicated. And that's the area we need to really get out of. And that's why I think companies like ELO that are focusing on preventing, helping you to stay out of the medication, helping you to stay healthy in the long term, are really going to be valuable.
Yeah. Guys, if you're finding this useful, if you're now having a better idea of what to look for in blood tests, go ahead and share this with a friend, a coworker, a family member. Leave the podcast a rating and review. Every time I go to do blood work, they often recommend not to exercise strenuously for 48 hours in advance so that you don't elevate creatinine and different things like that. But then it's like, how often am I going for over 48 hours without exercising? Like, what if I am stressed the night before about the test and I don't sleep as well? I stay up a little later tossing and turning because I'm worried about my test results. These kinds of things. And it seems like there's so much variability in lifestyle that it's hard to get a real current snapshot.
I think you make a great point. And I don't know if you heard about this idea of a fear of a lab coat or fear of a doctor. And there's this really funny anecdote I heard from somebody. They said to me that if your primary care doctor happens to be on the third or fourth floor, they are giving people a lot more medications around blood pressure. Because you have these poor people who have to walk floors of stairs up, and they get, you know, a little bit tired on that, and then they're going to meet the doctor. If the doctor has a lab coat or the nurse has a white coat, you will have a higher result on your blood pressure. You try it yourself. I have a blood pressure cuff at home, and my number at home is 15% lower than it is in the hospital setting. So that's why, you know, we have maybe hundreds of thousands of people who are getting blood pressure medication for no reason, because they just walk few stairs too many, or then they are fearing the doctor or the lab coat.
That's so true. I remember in high school when I went to get my annual physical, I would walk up there and I would walk through the sun, up a bunch of flights of stairs. I'd get in, I'd be sweating and my veins would be popping out and everything. And they'd take my blood pressure and they would tell me it's high. They'd tell me it's like worrisome. And then I'd be like, that's ridiculous. I don't have high blood pressure. Just give me a few minutes to calm down so I'm not like panting. I just came from football practice. And then they would test me again 15 minutes later, and lo and behold, my levels had normalized.
Also, that's a really good point and a real serious point about the fact that, you know, healthcare system today, how many times are you tested? Maybe once a year or maybe once every 2 years. And based on that one test, we then give you medication and often we give you chronic medication for these metabolic conditions that, you know, you get forever. And I mean, I don't want to go too deep on this, but the statins today, we give 50 million people in the US prescription statins. And for most people, I think they could do simple lifestyle changes. And that's what we do at ELO. We try to help these people who, for example, are prescribed, but they can't have statins because they feel that they are causing so many side effects. And then they could do simple changes in the you know, diet or you know, exercise pattern, or even just mindfulness, and that can help a lot. And even, you know, the fact that if you sleep well, you likely don't need these medications anymore. Yes, they are important for many people, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't take statins, but there's one example of drug that, you know, I think we have gone too far. Like 50 million people is too many to be medicated every day.
Yeah, there's a lot of evidence against them. And as I see cholesterol, it's the canary in the coal mine. It's warning you that there's a issue deeper down. Your body's only producing cholesterol to repair arterial damage and different things like that. So sure, you can kill the canary and you can suppress cholesterol, but but that doesn't mean you're getting to the root cause of the issue.
I listened to a podcast, I think Peter Attia or somebody a few weeks ago, and he did like a one-on-one, really good one-on-one on cholesterol. I think we added in one of our emails. And he said that cholesterol is an interesting substance. Without it, we would not have any life on the planet. So that's just the kind of point that, you know, we think that, you know, LDL is bad or HDL is good or cholesterol is somehow bad. But, you know, these are like things that, you know, a human being or any life form, they can't function without these things. They hold the membrane intact. So we often are testing things and we have absolutely no idea what they really are about. And I'm not an expert. I'm not a biologist, but, you know, I've been learning a lot in the last years. And every day I'm like, wow, I mean, there's so much more to learn.
All right. So if someone's interested in getting tests more than once a year, you guys now offer your early access program. If people check out Elo Health now, what is that?
Yeah, great point. So we're probably the first smart nutrition company ever being built in the planet. And we know it's kind of odd for people to think about that you can take your blood and turn it into nutrition. It's kind of like a science fiction from Star Trek in a way. So to make it, you know, easier for people to palate and understand, we've been now giving an early access program where we do the free blood test for people in the beginning. No strings attached. You can sign up to Elo today at elo.health. And I think the first 1,000-2,000 people still are getting a free blood test as part of this. And it's pretty cool because, you know, you basically can see these 12-13 biomarkers, and then you can get real guidance on what you need to do for it. And the cool thing in a way is that, you know, I tell our members that, you know, if you come all green and you are all great, I don't think you should take supplements. Well, that's only like maybe 1-2% of the people today. But most people like myself, I mean, I had red values and surprises like the vitamin D that I had no idea of. So that's the important thing. You know, sign up to Elo, get tested, or you can go to your doctor and get tested, because I bet you have some issues that you don't know about. And those are the kind of the canaries in the gold mine that, you know, the sooner you learn about them, the more time you have to fix them. And I tell this to everybody, and it's very true. The bad diet we have today, think about the processed food, sugar that we are having in excess in everything in food and even bread and stuff like that. Having that bad food for about 20 years or 30 years will lead by definition to almost everybody into the type 2 diabetes and to the chronic conditions. But the great thing is that it only can take about a year to heal your body from the same mess by using the right nutrition. Think about 20 to 30 years to get sick and about the 1 year to heal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty great reward in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. And so then after the initial trial, then how are you guys able to offer it for just $99 a month with supplements, all the personalized supplements and the blood testing every quarter?
And not only that, we also offer access to the Elo coaches who are registered dietitians. So you can meet them every quarter and you can use the Elo app every day if you want to communicate with your coach. And you can send a photo of a product you are buying or a meal you are eating or a feeling you are having, and you can get expert feedback directly in an app. Well, why can you do it at that price? The number one benefit is that, you know, we built a system, very modern system that's based on tech. And the healthcare system today is still very manual. Many things that you get from your doctor or from a healthcare provider, there's a manual paper moving around, or there's too many people involved. We made a very efficient process where our coaches can use the time where they need to spend their time, which is helping people. Our blood testing is done at home collection. You send it to our lab, we get the results from that way. And our supplement provider, you know, we found really good partners who were able to, you know, find the right type of product for us. And I mean, to be fair, supplements as a category, often if you buy a bottle of supplements, you know, there's some branded supplements that you can find that are doing a lot of marketing on TV and elsewhere. It can be 90% marketing and 10% product.
Sad but true. Does the MindBody Peak Performance audience need any special link or code to take advantage of the early access program?
I can give you the code. It will be Nick Urban will be the code that they can use to sign up.
Okay, perfect. Well, a couple other questions before we start winding down and head on to the rapid fire round. So both of us are interested in where self-optimization is going. But what do you see? Where do you see this all going?
The big thing that will happen in the next maybe decade or maybe even sooner will be that we don't break the skin, or we don't need to pee on a stick, or we don't need to send our saliva to some place. We can do that at home. We can do like the COVID testing. You swap your nose and you see the result then and there by using a new type of devices connected to your phone or your laptop. That, I think, will happen fairly soon. And what will happen after that will be the ability to have an Apple Watch or Aura or different form function in your body that can actually see inside you. Now we can understand already many things, like, you know, the temperature on Aura. We can understand HRV for recovery. We can understand from the movement, you know, your different REM, deep and normal sleep patterns. But it's not that far that we can actually look deeper, and we can look at your hemoglobin. We can look at your blood pressure. We can look at, I think, glucose. And I think once we get to glucose, we can also monitor many, many other things. And once we get there, then we have first time a real-time view of the human body's performance and outcomes related to exercise, recovery, sleep, diet, many of the things. And that will be a renaissance. I mean, when it happens, this becomes one of the biggest single industries in the world, I think. And there will be many, many, many companies that are going to build new products based on these platforms. They will be related to exercise and performance. I think we're going to break record in everything in athletics. Like, there will be super athletes that come out of it. I mean, I don't know if you heard about this, but the Super Sapiens is a company that you use the glucose monitor, and it's really focused for triathletes and cyclists. They are now working hand in glove with the team in Norway and a few of these athletes, and they are trying to break, I think, the 7-hour mark or 6-hour mark in triathlon. Like, it's like mind-boggling. I can't even fathom how that's possible. But they are now optimizing every piece of the puzzle, and they are seeing like a 10, 15, 20% performance increase by making it right and fueling the right way.
Wow.
Think about when we get that into the everyday health, because you and me, and most people listening, we are not eating at the 95% high quality fuel we could. We are maybe eating 30%. Once we move the normal people from the 40-30% of, you know, performance optimized food into the 90%, we don't have these chronic conditions anymore. We're going to live a much healthier life. We're going to add maybe 10-15 years of health span. I'm not talking about lifespan, I'm talking about health span. We can live up to 90, and we can die, you know, on the track and field track, or we can die skiing, or we can die hiking in Appalachian Trail. That's kind of my hope that I can see in my lifetime. And that's why I'm working on this every day. I'm also trying to put all the money I have, you know, extra and investing companies in this space. And it's super vibrant and exciting.
I love that vision. Well, Ari, where can people connect with you and find you on the internet?
Elo.health is the company I run. You can also find Elo in Instagram, Elo.health, on any possible social media at Elo Health. I'm easy to find if you want to find me, Ari Tulla. I think I'm the only one with my name on the web, so I'm the easiest person to find out there.
Now imagine that all the knowledge on earth is gone, and you get to save the works of three teachers. They can be books, podcasts, videos, whatever you want. Which would you choose and why?
This is a really tough one, and I appreciate the question. I mean, it's a good one. I think these are not maybe big bodies of work, but these are three authors and topics I really care about. So the number one is Tolkien. It was the first big book I ever read was Hobbit when I was maybe 6 years old. I'm reading right now to my son. He's sleeping in the tent backyard and we are reading Hobbit maybe half an hour every night. And this is the best time of my life. I mean, I'm getting back to a book that I fell in love reading with that book. I think I have read Lord of the Rings 10 times and in three different languages. Wow. So that's the book I spent most time as a kid. And my internet name back in the days was actually Umbar. Umbar are the pirates of the north in the Tolkien Middle Earth. So I'm known as a Umbar if you go to even Twitter today. So that's how deep I went into the land of Tolkien. The second one is some type of an encyclopedia. I don't even know, Britannica maybe. But having that 38 volume world knowledge in your fingertips as a printed form would be really epic if you are alone in an island, for example, with no more knowledge. And I just read a book called Wool by Hugh Howey, and it's a story of a world where people are living underground after we destroyed the planet in these silos. Yeah. And they actually have the encyclopedia there and they are reading it like, wow, that's what the world looked like when you had elephants and, you know, whales and stuff. Mm. And then the last one is a podcast. And I've been listening to podcasts for all my life. I started a long time ago in my youth, even before I was reading, I was listening to cassettes, like books on cassettes, like when I was 4 or 5 years old. And then at Nokia, we were building one of the first podcasting apps. So I started to listen to podcasts then. And the ultimate favorite I have is Hardcore History by Dan Carlin. Oh, yeah. And what would be a better series to have all the 60 or so episodes that are talking about the world history? If you are living in a world where we have no information anymore, would be great to go back in the past history and actually learn what did we do wrong? What did we do right? And Dan is mainly talking about what did we do wrong over the years.
Well, that's perfectly balanced, that assortment of works. Are you ready for a rapid fire round now?
Yes, I think I'm.
What's the biggest myth in your line of work?
I think we talked about it already. It's the fact that the blood testing is not really as exact science as people think it is. There's a 80% volatility often in results. Mm.
What area of your own health and performance are you currently working on?
Currently, I'm improving my metabolic flexibility by being able to get keto faster, being you know, fat burner, carb burner. And I'm testing the biosense prep sensor now every day to be able to validate those things.
What one thing are you currently interested in and researching these days?
I think last year it's all been all about understanding how different foods are impacting my health and can impact the human health. We don't know a lot about it yet, but you know, there's a lot of new research that's coming out every day that is super compelling.
And is that just blood sugar or other facets of health as well?
Everything. Even like now we do this sort of biomarker impact. What about the beets? What about carrots? What about, you know, pomegranate? How are they impacting the biomarkers? I mean, I don't think we really know. And that's what we're gonna find out at ELO in the next coming year.
That's super cool. All right, we'll end with this. What's one thing that your tribe does not know about you?
I don't think many people know that my handle used to be Umbar on every possible thing. I haven't talked about it for a long time. But I think the one thing that people don't know about me that I'm really proud about is that when in high school, I was a video game aficionado. I was playing video games, the first online games. And I actually was one of the first people in the world that was selling swords and armor and money in a virtual world in mid-90s and actually made money. And my parents thought that I'm a drug dealer, but no, I was only selling drug in a virtual world.
I love it. Yeah, I had a checkered history with video games and I'm glad I have got my hands off them these days because that completely dominated my life throughout my entire childhood.
I did 10,000 hours of playing that one game over my high school years. And I passed with flying colors, but I don't think I spent a whole lot of time alert in the school.
Well, Ari, any final thoughts, any things you want to leave listeners with if they've made it this far?
Yes, health, and it's really not that complicated. You have to really focus on a few things. Think about your recovery, your sleep, and your mental recovery. It can be a mindful exercise you pick or you do. It could be yoga, it could be meditation. But really think about that as a recovery as a whole. And then think about the nutrition. Think about what you eat every day. It doesn't need to be too complicated. And if you are starting to change your behavior in a nutrition side, the outcomes are going to be immensely big fairly quickly. It doesn't take, like I said, many years to change. It can take a few months and you're going to see the positive outcomes. But it's good to have some measurement and some metrics to measure it, because sometimes we don't feel the change. We often stop doing new things because we don't see the immediate change in how we feel every morning. And the one annoying thing I really don't like in this area is that we are still often using the weight scale as a measurement for our nutrition or health overall. And it's basically like looking in a back view mirror, because nothing you do today and the next few days will have any impact on your weight. It only takes, it takes more time than that. And if you are going the wrong direction, you need to look back like a month or two, what did you do? So find some better measurements than the weight scale. Don't stress about the weight too much, but think more about, overall health, and think about how you feel every morning. And to me, it's really the key question. When you put your feet to the ground in the morning, ask yourself, are you feeling good, okay, or not good? And kind of mark that down and start tracking that over time. And that single measurement, I think, is the most important single thing you can do to your health. If you feel great every morning, you're doing something right.
Way to end this one with a bang. Well, Ari Tulla, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. Thank you for joining me today on the Mind Body Peak Performance Podcast.
No, thank you. It's been really fun.
I'm Nick Urban here with Ari Tulla, signing out from mindbodypeak.com. Have a great week and be an outlier. Thank you for tuning in to this episode. Head over to Apple Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and leave a rating. Every review helps me bring you thought-provoking guests. As always, you can find the show notes for this one at mindbodypeak.com/episode. There, you can also chat with other peak performers or connect with me directly. The information depicted in this podcast is for information purposes only. Please consult your primary healthcare professional before making any lifestyle changes.